the KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Well, we made it. It's Friday. A few more hours if you're a 9-to-5-er, right? We're going to try to make that a little easier with some great content for you in this hour. Coming up later in the hour, we'll have an update from the Heritage Foundation. Genevieve Wood takes some time to let us know about a list that came out, letting us know where states ranked in a way of essentially family friendliness. How friendly are states when it comes to promoting family things. So we'll get to that. Also, our Friday financial update with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates. A little more on taxes. We're going to touch a little bit on some terms that you may think you know, or maybe you got it down solid. We're going to just walk through some stuff that may make you a little more comfortable heading towards April 15th. Also want to let you know about an event that's coming up. Our friend, Pastor Jeremy Bannister at Heights Christian Church, let me know about this the other day. Now, Jeremy won't be there, though, for this event. It's for ladies only. One night, 3 hours, just for women. Live a better life. It's at Heights Christian Church in Albuquerque, Louisiana, at Comanche, Saturday, March 8th at 6 p.m. It's an evening for laughter, stories, and music. Author and Bible teacher Debbie Alsdorf will be there, along with comedian Amberly Niece, musician Laura Williams, and hopefully you, ladies. Info and ticket information at heightschristian.org. And if you're listening and you're like, what about the event at my church? Well, send us the who, what, when, where, why, a good website that has the information we can send the rest of our listeners to. We'd love to promote it for you. Just email it to studio@klyt.fm. And for the first couple segments of today's show, we're going to be visiting with the Indigenous Outreach group from Calvary Church and bringing you a lot of great information about some things that are on the horizon that you may well want to participate in. But in studio with us, Stan and Lisa, and Michelle and Edward, both couples, and Natasha's here. We are really looking forward to getting to know you a little bit better and encourage those that are listening to be a part of what we see just around the corner. Actually, you know, I'm a military brat, so I've traveled a lot. And one easy way for me to connect with people is if I know where they're from, sometimes I've been there and, you know, have some things in common. Let's go around the table real quick and your name, and I'll introduce you. Where's home for you? Where were you? I don't know. You can do whatever you want there, where you're born or raised or where you are now or all of it. Let's run through it real quick just so I get a kind of an idea. First, Stan. And Stan's, you've been back in the studios here before, but so you're old hat at this.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, thank you for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Oh, we'd love to.
And my name's Stan Atsidi, and I grew up on a Navajo reservation. And pretty much my younger years, and I, you know, speak the language,
yep.
Navajo language, and been living in Albuquerque for over 30 years now.
Now, Navajo Nation, the reservation is Arizona, New Mexico.
Yeah, it's three states. Majority of it is in Arizona,
yep.
And then partial in New Mexico and Utah.
So where, for the most part, were you?
In New Mexico side.
Okay.
Shiprock is where I grew up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Always come back from there with nice pictures.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. And your wife, Lisa's with you. I see you overachieved, Stan.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Lisa?
My name is Lisa. I'm half Sioux, half Lakota, and half Navajo.
Oh, okay.
And a funny thing is, Stan and I grew up within about, less than 2 miles of each other?
A couple miles.
Okay. But we didn't meet until college.
So. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and God's timing.
Yeah.
Actually had some dear friends years ago from Lakota, Chug and Karen Garreau, did some great ministry with Calvary years ago. So I'm excited to see some more of that, getting back to that.
Yeah.
Another beautiful, all those beautiful areas of the country. Yeah. Edward, you're here with your wife, Michelle.
Yes.
Where are you from, Edward?
I'm originally from Toachi, New Mexico. It's about 25 miles north of Gallup out there.
Okay.
And been out here in Albuquerque since 92. But I grew up there on the Navajo Reservation, very traditional culturally, brought up in that area.
But, right. Plenty of snow out there.
Oh, yeah, right now. Yeah, so that's where I'm originally from. And so I'm also Navajo as well, too. So.
Okay. And Michelle.
Yes. Hi.
Here, let's get Michelle a little All closer. Right. There you go. And you can move it around a little bit.
Okay. Thank you. So I am Navajo as well. Grew up on the Navajo Reservation. I grew up in Sawmill, Fort Defiance area.
Okay.
So that's more on the Arizona side.
Yeah. I guess I was saying Fort Defiance. Is that real close to the Continental Divide?
No, it's
no.
Or it's
Rock.
Okay.
Window Rock, and it's okay. About 7 miles.
Yeah. Okay. Over. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I haven't been to Window Rock in years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, literally since I had like platinum blonde hair being out in the sunshine as a little kid all the time. But man, I love these areas you guys are from. They're, you know, as I said, I traveled a lot. New Mexico is a beautiful, beautiful state. And there's plenty of different cultures and different vistas. And as beautiful a state as it is, spiritually can be really dark. Mm. I know that just from actually hosting this show and talking to people about different issues all over the state. And it's just a blessing, I got to tell you, to me. And I'm hoping to the listeners and many others that the outreach that we're going to be talking about is you know, really getting a shot in the arm.
Yes.
We're going to see some more outreach that way. Also joining us, Natasha. I'm going to guess, I'm just guessing that Natasha's the youth here in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Natasha, where are you from?
I'm actually urban Indian, so I am Danette and Mexican, but I was raised in Rio Rancho, New Mexico.
Okay.
So beautiful little suburb city outside of Albuquerque.
It is. Yep. And okay, so I do want to jump into, because with the time we have, I want to make sure we have an opportunity to talk about some of the things that are coming up. But let's talk about some of the challenges and really some of the opportunities. Some of the biggest challenges, and I'm going to throw this out to anyone, but there's a lot of us, so not a whole lot of head nods before someone jumps in and we'll stare at each other. Who's going to do this? Some of the biggest challenges that you might say indigenous communities are facing today.
You know, we, yeah, thanks for that question. It's a very important question. And part of the team, Natasha has been really articulate in gathering data.
Yeah.
So this would be a great opportunity for Natasha to kind of give us a quick summary of what the indigenous communities face, and also Natasha, maybe you can provide some perspectives.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had an honor to get my master's at New Mexico State in criminal justice, but I focused on indigenous studies. So I was very aware of the statistics that are going on in the United States. Briefly, New Mexico tribal unemployment is 8.6 compared to the total overall of 6.2 in New Mexico. 20% of indigenous population in New Mexico are below the poverty level compared to 10% total in the U.S. Indigenous populations struggle with mental health, especially in the youth. Back in 2023, the CDC did a survey that found 1 in 4 indigenous students considered suicide attempt. Addiction is a large issue in indigenous populations. They are much higher on the national level for alcohol-induced death, as well as illicit drug-induced death. Lastly, the violence among indigenous women is often a common story. 4 in 1 indigenous, 4 in 5 experience violence in their lifetime and are twice as likely as sexually abused before the age of 18. In 2022, 40% of sex trafficked victims in the United States were indigenous females. Indigenous females face 10 times higher than the national average to be murdered. New Mexico is the highest state in the United States. Albuquerque is ranked the second highest city. Indigenous communities are resilient, even when the numbers are stacked against us.
So, all you know, the statistics you just gave, that's like a whole nother hour on the show. I mean, really, to go into all of those issues. But I think it's important for those that are considering being a part of a ministry that would reach out to the indigenous people in the Southwest, in our area. I don't want to say New Mexico, because I'm imagining, like you said, Stan, you know, we're talking Utah and Arizona and I think it's important for people to understand that there's a need for people to be ministered to, and as Christians, to introduce them to Christ. Yes. And you know, whether it's indigenous or all the other issues we talk about in the state, often on this show, we'll bring it back to, look, the answer is Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of work to do now.
Steve, I'd just like to add a little
go ahead.
To that as well, too. I think other challenges, too, in maybe just more of a simplification of it is just that, you know, again, suicide, alcoholism, those types of things like that. And that's one of the big reasons why you just mentioned Jesus is the answer. And and those are, in some sense, some commonalities on the tribes that, you know, just around here, maybe the Pueblo and also the Navajo, but also Jicarilla or the Apache and stuff like that. So, again, it's just... We're looking at these commonalities that are issues on the tribes as well.
And you know, when I think of the little part of outreaches I've been in this area, one thing that's occurred to me is there's a history of the relationship between the indigenous people across the United States and the church. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of failure. There's been a lot of misunderstanding. But how can where we are now, the body of Christ, best make a conscious effort to effectively reach the indigenous people of our region here in the Southwest with the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you bring up a good point about historically, there's a lot of hurt and a lot of mistrust between the indigenous communities and churches. But one thing that needs to be understood is that indigenous communities are kinship. They're all about loving one another and being healing within. And so for churches to reach out, especially within our outreach, is we want to be able to go and help, but at the same time, we want to teach and give self-sustaining tools and tactics for their communities to be able to thrive within itself. And so grassroots kind of mentality that we're not trying to change who their heritage and who we are. We are indigenous.
Yeah.
We're not trying to change that. We're just trying to be able to help with the resources and be able to give a self-sustaining style mentality. And ultimately, the self-sustaining comes from Christ, and that our love and compassion and our resources and the ultimate provider is Jesus Christ himself.
Well said. Hey, look, we're already up against a break. We're going to take a quick break and come back and try to get through as much of this as we can. We have some events that are coming up. An interest meeting is going to be happening. We want to let you know about all of this information as it draws near. So stay with us through this. If for some reason you got to go, let me tell you this. This will be archived at abqconnect.online. You'll find all the information there. We're going to can you all stay with us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, great. We're going to take a break and come back after this on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect.
Hey, thanks for joining us in studio with us, Stan and Lisa, Michelle and Edward and Natasha, all with the Indigenous Outreach Ministry at Calvary Church. Listen, though, if this is something that is of interest to you, we want to make sure that you are equipped with the information you need to find out more. And there's going to be an Indigenous Outreach Interest Meeting happening at Calvary Church on Sunday, March 2nd, starting at 1 o'clock. And you'll find the details at calvarynm.church under events. Listen, when you go to that website, on that web page under events, you'll just see the banner Community Outreach. Click on that, and then when you do, you'll see it says Indigenous Outreach Interest Meeting, but that's March 2nd at 1 o'clock at Calvary Church, essentially after the services at Calvary on that Sunday. But let's press on with our conversation. We were talking a little bit about some of the history in outreach to the Indigenous people. I would say, and actually, Natasha, what you shared is it's not unique probably to the Southwest. I mean, that's on a national level.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a clash of cultures. And I think it's important. I found it important to understand what I was walking into. And, you know, whether it was here in the Southwest or in Panama, where we were reaching out to the Guaymi Indians at the time. I think often in ministry, we want to jump in and get to where we're going to do this for you,
yeah.
You know? And I think often what we miss is, you mentioned some of the trust, but some of that can be repaired through relationship and really just getting to know one another. And that takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to be able to restore and healing through Jesus Christ to the communities. But we also understand that, like, we can't be able to go every single day out into these communities. We need to be able to give them the leadership skills and the tools to be able to thrive and to encourage one each other on tribal communities and in urban cities. A misconception is that Indigenous communities are only in the rural reservation. 70% of the Indigenous people in the United States are urban cities.
Yeah.
And I'm one of them.
Yeah.
And so being able to be bold and confident in my faith and go out amongst the cities and in the Indigenous reservations and just say, hey, like, I might not have been a res kid, but I know what the stacks and statistics are against me, and I'm just here to show love and be bold and share Christ. And I would love to be able to go out to many cities across the United States and across the world to give other Christians who are Indigenous the confidence to be able to share their faith.
Yeah, and let me say, this occurred to me too, as we're encouraging people to consider being a part of this, supporting it, and you know, many people are may find, you know, what can I do? Well, you know what? Here's where you can start. You can start by praying for this ministry and pray for Solomon's wisdom as we approach things. Pray for safety and health really just for that veil to be dropped. That,
yes.
And we all know as Christians, it's the Spirit who convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Mm-hmm. All we can do is love and share the truth. How receptive have you found your communities to sharing the gospel of Jesus? What are you running into?
You know, for me, is you know, I've been, every time I tell people, every time I go back, my prayer has always been, you know, Lord, use me, let my words be yours, and I just make myself available.
Yeah.
And oftentimes on a one-to-one ministry, I've had people, I'll use the word melt in front of me. Their soul just melts in front of me. And that's without mentioning God's word or anything. They just start crying, and there's a lot of need on the reservation. So that's been my experience.
Yeah, how many times does anyone have a testimony like this? You're a Christian, and you're loving people, you know, like Paul said, it me, man. It's God working in me. And you're doing what you can to just love. And when I say that, and my listeners are used to hearing me say this, most of the time when I'm talking about ministry love, I'm talking about wanting the best for the person on the receiving end. How many times have you just treated someone like Christ would treat them, and they come back and ask you about why it is you are the way you are? Is that effective?
Yeah.
Michelle?
So I have some experiences where God's given me those opportunities to be able to do that, just in the sense of simply just sitting and listening to their stories, listening to what they're dealing with, listening to what they're going through. And then that just opens up and softens their heart to prayer to accept that. So as far as with my family or surrounding communities near where I grew up, the being receptive to Christ and the gospel was, it's kind of like a little, there's always been a barrier kind of because of the past, you know, where they've talked about the hurt and things that have happened, abuse, things like that, especially with women, which is where I've come to experience those things in the in my childhood and in my growing up. But that's where I feel that Jesus has been using me just to reach out to the women, to be a listening ear, to love on them and let them know that they're not alone, that they can speak up and they can speak out about what they're going through.
Yeah, a couple things I hear there. Availability, just make yourself available. Mm-hmm. I want to key into, and this is just understanding culture, which, you know, you may have an easier time doing because of where you grew up, whether it's urban, mm-hmm. In that community or out on the reservation, but that they can speak up. Is that contrary to the culture?
Yes. Yes, I would say.
Okay. It's an opportunity. So you're there, you're ready to listen, again, availability. Hey, before we go any farther, I want to make sure people know about an event that's coming up, okay? This is going to be right around the time of the Gathering of Nations, which I think they're doing it at the State Fairgrounds still now, right? I know years ago it was at the Pit, but they've moved it to the State Fairgrounds.
Yeah, I think they moved it out.
Yeah.
It's at the Fairgrounds right now.
So. It is. Okay. Yes. That's coming up in April. But the date we want you to know about is April 24th, and it's called The Gathering. It's going to be going on that evening it's going to start at 6. Okay, there's an end time, but I hate to say end times because, what you know, God could do something else. It's going to be at Calvary Westside. If you don't know where that is, it's Montaño and Coors. It was the old Hastings on the west side, if you've been around any length of time. It's been Calvary Westside for quite some time now. But at Calvary Westside on April 24th at 6 p.m., and Reynard Faber is going to be one of the speakers. A friend of mine, I've been here like a very long time, looking forward to seeing Reynard back here. And I don't want to misspeak or give his credentials incorrectly. Can someone who knows him better explain his credentials and what we're hoping to see Reynard? Let me give it a shot. He's a chief or the chief of the Jicarilla Apache in northern New Mexico. And he's quite a fisherman, by the way. I was telling Clay off the air, some great fishing up in that area. He was a pastor on staff here at Calvary Church years ago. He's going to be coming. He's dear friends with Franklin Graham and I think Will Graham as well, the Billy Graham's kids and grandkids. Reynard is going to take some time to share that evening. Let's talk about, with the time we have left, getting people to this event.
Yes,
okay.
That's what
we want. Who do we want to see at this event?
You know, one of the things we talked about is, there's a Gathering of Nations happening.
Yeah.
So you got these multiple tribes coming together to Albuquerque already.
From all over the country.
From all over the country.
Yeah.
And
is this the biggest
biggest powwow.
Okay.
This is a Thursday before the event.
Okay.
And we as a team thought, you know, this would be a great opportunity to provide prayer and a service for the people who are coming in.
Yeah.
From afar, but also from the regional area and teaming up with those guys.
Yeah. We want to go ahead and get...
Come closer, Ed.
We want to let everybody know as far as all tribes across the nation, because they plan for this.
Uh-huh.
And it's an annual trip that they make down here. So we want to make it available before all the other things start as far as the true events of the Gathering Nations. But we want to get ahead of that and still invite those that are Christians amongst those other tribes and things like that to come to a place
right.
where we can honor the Lord and we can praise him and we can worship him.
It sounds like church.
Oh, yeah.
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 Just bring the redeemed and the unredeemed alike.
Yes.
Bring the people that are part of the body of Christ, that they can be encouraged heading into the Gathering of Nations and be prepared to share the truth of Jesus at the event, and bring someone who needs to hear the truth and experience you, people that are prepared to reach out to them and share with them the love of Christ.
Just like what Skip says sometimes, he says, you know, tell someone, but also bring someone.
Yeah, right? Yeah, tell everyone and bring someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll have that when that's posted. You're going to hear us talk about it plenty. Trust me. I always love to do this too. I want to make sure that, and I'll mention both the interest meeting and the gathering again. But I hate to have you get out the door and, hey, I really wanted to take time to share. Is there anything, we're leaving, you want to make sure to cover before we go?
Yeah, one thing that comes to mind is those who are interested in joining us during the interest meeting.
Yeah,
one of the things that we're going to do is educate. You know, who are tribal communities? What are the, you know, why are we using the word indigenous rather than tribes? And we're going to be doing kind of a 101 class, just so people are very familiar with the various missions, and then. This gathering is the first one, and we have other events planned, which we're very excited about, and there will be more opportunities for people to join.
Yes.
And for each of these areas. And the other thing, too, is the tribal communities, a lot of people make a mistake that they're all the same, which is not.
Yeah.
Because each of them are different language and culture. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the education piece.
Yeah, and actually, Natasha, when we were talking about the history and the church trying to reach out and some of the conflict and some of the that's not unique to the church. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Not at all.
Right. Now, I'm somewhat familiar with what you're saying, Stan. That there's you know, in this culture, there's different cultures within. You know that. Boy, that's and. And we're talking, we said across the country, now I'm going to ask because I spent 5 years in Anchorage. Do we see some indigenous from,
Yeah,
I hope we have, you know, some that travel that far from up there and, you know, come down here to the
It's a trip too.
Yeah.
It's
a trip. Yeah.
You know, I've actually traveled from Alaska and you see folks coming towards Albuquerque. From Alaska.
Good.
They're saying, yeah, where are you headed? Well, the Gathering of Nations.
Nice.
And in fact, they even invite those dances at the Gathering of Nations also. So it's a wide reach.
Yeah. And I lived here. I lived here most of my life. But I can tell you, testifying to the difference in culture with the indigenous people, that I encountered up in Anchorage. Yeah, it's similar but different. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing, though. People are people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a history of it in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And there's, you know what? We need to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves in what we do. But reaching people and loving people is pretty much the same no matter where we're going.
Yeah.
So we encourage people with that. And let me give you the information real quick. We're out of time. The meeting that's coming up, the interest meeting, the Indigenous Outreach Interest Meeting at Calvary Church is happening on March 2nd, a week from this Sunday at 1:00, Calvary Church. Go to calvarynm.church. When you go to events, click on the banner that says Community Outreach, and you'll see the information for that. And then, just before the Gathering of Nations, the gathering will be happening Thursday, April 24th at 6 p.m. at Calvary Westside, and that'll be posted on the website as well at calvarynm.church, and we'll continue to mention. Thank you all for taking the time.
Thank you. We really do appreciate it.
Hey, let's do this work side by side. Get her done.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
All right. Thank you all. Open invite. Let us know how we can be of assistance to the work you're doing. Stay with us. We're going to hear from the Heritage Foundation, Genevieve Wood, next on EBQ Connect.